إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون ولو كره المشركون ولو كره المنافقون أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون وقال عز وجل لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم وصدق الله العظيم. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with wahi. What is wahi? Wahi is revelation. What is the point of revelation? The point of revelation is not to teach you how to be on time. It is not to give you a superior political system. It is not to give you a superior economic system to make you money, to win friends, to influence people. All of these things are doable without the benefit of revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very succinctly communicates the point of revelation in the first revelation that he says to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Read in the name of your Lord who created man from a clot of blood. Read in your Lord is the most noble, the one who taught man by the pen, the one who taught man that which he knew not. The point of wahi is to teach you that thing that not only you don't know, but if you were to gather together, all of you, every century of all human beings, of the ins, the jinn, the smartest of everybody, if they were to live forever, for eternity, and collaborate with one another, they would not be able to understand that thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down in his book and sent down on the tongue and on the noble akhlaq of his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Part of the misunderstanding that people have, because of which they are disbarred and deprived from benefiting and deprived from the spiritual and the material help of Allah ta'ala because of, is this lack of understanding regarding wahi, that no matter who you are, no matter how much experience you have with regards to life, no matter how much intelligence you have, this will not teach you anything about wahi. Wahi is something you only get benefit from through ittiba'ah, through following blindly what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. And Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us such a system that will not only garner for us the help of Allah ta'ala in this world, but it will garner for us the more important help and the more important victory, which is the help of Allah ta'ala in the victory on the Day of Judgment. وَالْآخِرَةُ بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Indeed, verily, nay, indeed, you prefer the life of this world and the hereafter, whereas the hereafter is better. It's more intense than this world is, and it lasts forever. And it lasts forever. خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. It's better. It's superior to this world, and it lasts forever. The fact of the matter is, however, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His nizam al-tashri', in His system of legislation and commandment for mankind and for His slaves, He made a number of obligations incumbent on the Muslims as individuals, and He made a number of obligations incumbent upon the Muslims as a community. And some of those obligations are very difficult to carry. Some of those obligations are very difficult to carry. They're not easy to carry. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't have a system where we tell people walk through the door, accept Islam as your way of life, and we guarantee you you're going to go to Jannah, you can still have friends, you can still do what you want to do, you don't have to change yourself in the slightest, come as you are, we love you for who you are. This is not part of our teaching. This is not part of our teaching. Our teaching demands that every person who says La ilaha illallah, Allah Ta'ala asked the people in His book, so the people think that they'll be left to say La ilaha illallah, that there's no God except for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and then they're not going to be tested. Allah Ta'ala said, we tested everybody who came before you. We tested everybody who came before you so that we can know who are the people who told the truth and who are the people who said something on their tongue and hid something in their heart. So don't be surprised now. Don't be surprised now when you find yourself in a situation where you wanted to, what? You wanted to make money. You wanted to have a comfortable life. You wanted to have everybody love you. You wanted to have all of these things happen. I also wanted all of these things to happen for myself. But we find ourselves in a situation where that's no longer looking like it's in the deal. It's no longer looking like it's in the deal that we're going to be left alone. Why? Allah Ta'ala is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The dunya was created for you. It's a tool for you. And you were created for the akhirah. The dunya is a tool. What is a tool? Every tool has a specific use. If you have to put a nail into the wall, and you take a screwdriver, a flathead screwdriver, a small one, and start, you know, hammering the nail with the screwdriver. What are you going to do? You're going to end up bending or breaking the chisel. Why? Because it's the wrong tool for the wrong job. The dunya is a tool for you. It was a tool for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was a tool for our forefathers as well. And it was a tool for what? It was a tool that was given to the people of this ummah in order for us to what? To earn and to find the excuse for Allah Ta'ala's rida, that Allah Ta'ala should be pleased with us. You know why we say radiyallahu anhum after the names of the ashab radiyallahu ta'ala anhum? Allah Ta'ala gave them this job that they should earn His pleasure, and they earned it by the nas of the Qur'an, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhum. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Ta'ala, so many places He talks about His rida, that Allah Ta'ala was pleased with them. Allah Ta'ala was pleased with them. He says regarding the battle of Badr, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said regarding the battle of Badr, so what do you know about the people who were there on the day of Badr? That Allah Ta'ala didn't look inside of their hearts and say, after this day, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. I've forgiven you. This is what? This is the rida of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This is not something that's mansus, that there's an ayah of the Qur'an that says only the Sahaba radiallahu anhum did it, and afterward, you guys, it's just a free-for-all. As long as you pray five times a day, maybe you don't even wake up for Fajr, you're still good. No. This is not what the plan is. The plan is what? That they were exemplars for the entire humanity to come until the Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the rest of the humanity, if they did what they did, they'll receive what they received. And if they don't do what they did, then how can they expect to receive what they received? It's a sunnah to read the Surah Al-Kahf on Fridays, right? وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُمَا مُنْقَلَبًا وَمِنْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. Right? فِي قِرَاءَةٍ. That if I, the person, he's being chastised and exhorted that you should remember Allah Ta'ala. He says, why? Forget about all of these things. I'm going to enjoy my dunya. And Allah Ta'ala, even if He's there, He's Ghafoor Rahim. If I go back to Him, he'll be cool. I'll be cool with Him. He'll hook me up. I said, for free He'll hook you up? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's mercy is something that should garner our humility. It should garner our thanks, our gratitude. To throw it in His face like that, This is a very strange sin, because it's curiously offensive. And it's also a way a person can ice skate by and find that one way that the greatest gift of Allah Ta'ala, which is His mercy, is His rahmah, it's His fadl, find a way to circumvent that against all odds and still end up being a person who is of loss on the Day of Judgment. So don't look at all of these people on TV. They're saying, oh, we're going to register, your community is going to have to do special registration and we'll put you on a list and we'll this and that. And, there's no such thing as Islamophobia because Islam should be feared and all this other nonsense. This is just the beginning, brothers and sisters. Wait until we get to, the end of January, right? This is just right now, this is just ramping up, amping up. It's going to become worse than this. What should the response be? Oh my goodness, I'm going to check the immigration website, see how I can get to Canada, see how I can get to England. Maybe I'll go back to the Bilad. I had a piece of land that I purchased a long time ago, and I'll move back there, and this and that and the other thing. No, brothers and sisters. Where are you going to? Where are you going to run away to? Where are you flying away to? A, there's going to be problems wherever you go. There's going to be problems wherever you go. This is the qadr of Allah Ta'ala. The problems you're going to get, you're going to get them if you stay here. You're going to get them where you go, somewhere else. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was traveling toward Sham. On the way, he heard news regarding plague, that plague had hit Sham. And so he turned around and went back to Medina Munawwara. Sayyidina Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu anhu, he asked him, Ya Amir al-Mu'minina, afirara min qadrillahi, Amir al-Mu'mineen, are you running away from the destiny Allah Ta'ala has meted out for you? He says, no. He says, yes, I'm running from His destiny to His destiny. I'm running from His destiny to His destiny. That's all you're going to do. You'll never escape it. It will hit you wherever you're going to go, whatever you're going to do. Running away is not going to be the problem. This type of evil, and I'm going to call it evil. Why? Because we have something, they call it now white nationalism. They think alt-right, it's called white nationalism. The khutbah is not a place to discuss political matters, and this is not a political matter. And generally, I wouldn't discuss things like this, except for it's something that is a very immediate concern of our community, which is what? What is white nationalism? The idea that somehow the system has to be gamed in favor of people of a certain ethnicity. I have no problem with people, white, black, whatever color. Why? Because to judge people based on their color and to judge people based on where they're from is what? It's one of the essential sifat of jahiliyyah. This is one of the essential sifat of jahiliyyah. Allah Ta'ala Himself negates it in His book. Right? Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Allah Ta'ala says very, verily, and He says very decisively, very clearly, the best of you in front of Allah Ta'ala is what? The one who has the most taqwa. This is an idea we consider to be immoral. We consider it to be immoral. We consider this to be evil. This is a sifa iblis to judge people based on their material features and qualities. Allah Ta'ala says in a sahih hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in a sahih hadith that Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at your shape, your color, your body, your wealth. Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at those things. What does He look at? He looks at your heart. And the person who has a good heart, Allah Ta'ala has mercy on that person. This is our aqidah, this is what we believe. It is completely at odds. It is completely at odds with this current sentiment, which I wouldn't say is prevailing, but I would say it's picked up a lot of steam in this country in the last 6 months to some people seemingly out of the middle of nowhere, although many people saw it coming for some time. As a Muslim, as a person of Islam, this is our aqidah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't make a Fir'aun anywhere except for He also made a Musa. Allah Ta'ala didn't make a Abu Jahl except for He also raised the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in His face. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala didn't create any sort of musibah or any sort of evil or any sort of iniquity except for He has somebody from His pious slaves to deal with that person. Allah Ta'ala Himself will deal with that person in this world through means, and on the hereafter, these people will be what? These people will be the fuel of the hellfire. These people will be the fuel of the hellfire. This is something we should be very, very firm about, and we should be very sure of inside of our hearts as well. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the Battle of Uhud, right? In the Battle of Uhud, what did he say, sallallahu alayhi wasallam? When the Sahaba retreated up the mountain, and Abu Jahl shouts out, he says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Sufyan shouts out to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that our dead in exchange for your dead. Right, the day of Uhud in exchange for the day of Badr. The Prophet ﷺ had too much ghairah to let that go. What does ghairah mean? Ghaira, very, very, very aptly, one of our ulama who was reading a hadith in the small dars that usually many masajid have after Maghrib or Isha, the word Ghaira is mentioned in a hadith. He says, how can I translate it in English? There's no word for it in English, maybe because very few people here have it. What is Ghaira? Ghaira is the feeling that a person has inside of their heart when someone or something that is dear to them is attacked, whether verbally or physically. Ghaira is the difference. If I told you a woman is getting robbed outside, you would feel angry, you would feel upset, maybe you would go and intervene. If I told a person your mother is being robbed outside, there will naturally be a difference in the feeling that you have, the level of feeling you have. That is what? That's ghaira. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding ghaira, he said to Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Mu'adh, when he showed a display of ghaira, he says, Ya Sa'ad, Allah is pleased with your ghaira. And know that the Messenger of Allah has more ghaira than you, and that Allah has more ghaira than his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had too much ghaira for Islam to let something silly like this pass, that Abu Sufyan should vaunt in front of the Messenger of Allah, in front of the Deen al-Haqq, and say that we're even, that we're even, that our dead for your dead, and the day of Uhud for the day of Badr. He gestured to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, answer him. What did he say? He said, our dead are in Jannah, your dead are in the hellfire. He said, our dead are in Jannah, your dead are in the hellfire. Khalas, done. This is our aqidah, that what? Allah Ta'ala doesn't let any batil stay in the face of the haqq. The haqq is what? It's one of the sifat of Allah Ta'ala. Who is the haqq literally is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is the haqq. And the person who makes their connection with the haqq, the person who makes friends with the haqq, the one who wakes up in the morning hearing the haqq and speaking the haqq, and they go to sleep at night hearing the haqq and speaking the haqq, know that that person has a very powerful friend in his corner, regardless of how disenfranchised they may seem to be. This country itself knows what the power of the haqq is, despite not having a tariq in Islam that they wish to admit to. People in this country were enslaved. People in this country were enslaved. The type of slavery that was practiced in this country was something Islam never condoned or sanctioned. The idea that a human being can be owned by another human being completely as property, only based on the person's race or on the person's lineage or ancestry, this is something Islam never taught and never condoned. And it was so shameful, even to the point where if the master would have a child with a slave woman, the child, the master's own child, he would leave the child in slavery. The master would leave his own child in slavery. This is how merciless this institution was. This institution was literally ripped this country apart. It literally ripped its country apart at a time. This country, literally, the people took arms up against one another because of the immorality of this institution. There was never any point in the history of this country where the slaves were powerful enough to effect a rebellion or force anyone to do anything. Why did it happen? Because the haqq has a certain attraction. It doesn't let people sleep at night until it is served. The haqq has a certain attraction. It doesn't let people have any comfort until its rights are fulfilled. And some people may say, you know what, I don't care about it, but there's always some hearts that will be there in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will never sleep, which will never be okay without the haqq. And Allah ta'ala gives his madad to the haqq. Allah ta'ala gives his help to the haqq. This is not something that this country had to learn by becoming Muslim. This is a lesson this country learned on its own. It's enshrined in a constitutional amendment. This very state of Ohio sent so many of its sons to go and die 1,000 miles away from here, just for that reason. Just for that reason. Why? Because the haqq doesn't leave people alone. The Civil Rights Amendment in this country. There was a time in the living memory of some people who are even sitting here where a black man couldn't sit at the same lunch counter as a white man, where he couldn't drink from the same drinking fountain as a white man in certain parts of this country. What happened? Were black people ever politically enfranchised enough in order to repeal that law? Never. Never. They would go to protest, they would release the dogs on them, they would open fire hoses on them, they would lynch them, they would beat them. All sorts of intimidation. What is it that overcame this batil, that overcame this falsehood? It's what? It's the haqq. Brothers and sisters, the haqq is something, it's something that we as Muslims, if we are truly people of Islam, we are people not only that we cast our lot in with it, we're not only people that cast our lot in with it. One thing is to say, you know what, this is something I just got to do what I got to do. This is the basic level of humanity. This is, if you cannot do this much, you're like an animal, you're not even a human being. If you cannot see something that's right, an issue of right and wrong, and say, you know what, I have to be on the right side of this, something is very wrong with you. Brothers and sisters, if you look at the seerah of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they are not only people who said, okay, we got to do it, it's fard, okay, we'll stand with the haq. They are people, they're majzoob. They were like, the gravity of it attracted them in all ways, not just physically. It captivated their imagination. It captivated their spirit. They were people who used to give their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would boast in the face of their enemies that we love death more than your people love life. Is it what? Because they're suicidal? They needed to see a shrink? They needed to see a psychologist because they're unhealthy? Brothers and sisters, we have weird cult suicidal type people in the Muslim lands right now. And they're doing exactly that. They're just destroying themselves. They're destroying other people. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum weren't people who destroyed civilization. They're people who made it. They're people who created it. They're people who built things. They're not people who destroyed things. Their attraction that they had to the haq was out of their attraction to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it wasn't just something that they considered a burden. It was something they considered an honor. Which one of you harbors inside of your heart the dream, the vision, the pride, the longing that they will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Mubarak hour of Jumu'ah, that Ya Allah, the people of Batil have come with their big Batil and they think, oh, Electoral College and White House, and I'm the chief of this and the strategist of that, and I'm the secretary of this, that, and the other thing. And with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people have less value than a fly flying on dung. This is not something, a rhetorical flourish I'm saying. This is the nas of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That these people are have less worth with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a dung beetle. The one who is going to stand and make the da'wah of batil. The one who is going to stand and make the da'wah of iblis. These people, who harbors inside of their heart the desire, not to run away, but to say, Ya Allah, if I ever have the chance, you give me the chance that I can stand up at a place or a time, show my face, say the word of the haq, show my face on the side of the haq, stand in front of the people of batil and say a word of truth so that you can be pleased with me. People talk about jihad. Oh my goodness, he's talking about jihad. You want to talk about jihad fi sabilillah? Afdhulul jihadi kalimatu haqqin in the sultan and ja'ir. The first mention of jihad in the book of Allah Ta'ala, وَجَاهِدُهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا, right? The jihad struggle with them, a great struggle. This is an ayah that was revealed in Makkah Mukarramah. It wasn't revealed in Medina Munawwara. The dhamir of bihi returns to what? To the Qur'an. Use the Qur'an and struggle against these people of batil, struggle against these people of batil, of falsehood. Using the Qur'an as your proof against them. When they say something stupid, stand up in front of everybody and say no. Say no. We don't consider Mexicans to be all rapists and murderers. We don't consider immigrants to be a burden on this society. In fact, your own mother's family is immigrants. Your own father's family is immigrants. There was one commentator, she said that, oh, if only the people whose four grandparents were born in America voted, then Trump or whoever, it doesn't matter which candidate, so-and-so candidate would have won handily. You know this standard of four grandparents being born in a place, meaning that you're actually from that place? This was a standard that was raised by the Nazis. Which one of you has the pride inside of their heart? This kind of disease, we saw it in the Nazis, we saw it in the Klan, we saw it in all of these sicknesses in the slavery of the American South. Which one of you sees, the ball is now in my court, now I also have a chance to say the word of truth and to stand with the people who are oppressed and to say the word of truth in front of a tyrant, just like Sayyidina Musa said in front of Fir'aun, just like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in front of Abu Jahl, just like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum said in front of the courts of the emperors of Persia and the emperors of Rome, just like the ulama and the saliheen of every single generation, Sidi Umar Mukhtar said in the face of the Italians. Just like our ulama from the Indian subcontinent, the ulama of Deoband, they said in the face of what? In the face of the British colonialists. Which one of you desires inside of your heart that, Ya Allah, you honor me also, that I show my face at the right day, at the right time, and say a word that you're pleased with, because of which you accept me, and you also write that I'm forgiven. That you also forgive my sins. That you also enter me into your rahmah. You also enter me into your jannah. Ya layta qawmi ya'lamuna bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani min al mukramin. Right, the one who stood with the anbiya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he narrates that this person, when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll say, Ya Layt, I wish that my people knew how much my Lord on this day has honored me and has forgiven me all of my sins. This is something, this is a jazb, this is an attraction that every believer should have. This is a dream every believer should have. Nobody should ever plan that they should be put in harm's way or put in difficulty. The sunnah is what? The Prophet ﷺ, if he had a choice between two things, he would always choose the easier of the two. However, we know, as a study of our aqidah will teach us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes he will choose for you the more difficult of two paths. Right? The Sahaba, they went out for the Battle of Badr. They went after the caravan. Did they get the caravan? Caravan, very few guards, a lot of money. The caravan got away and an army came in its place. Very little money and a very harsh fight. And Allah Ta'ala says in his own book, right? He said, what? That you wanted some part of the dunya? Allah Ta'ala wanted to make the haq manifest. Allah Ta'ala wanted to make the haq manifest. Sometimes you will want something, Allah Ta'ala will want something else. Okay, Ya Allah, you chose this path for me. Now you give me the strength to get through it. You give me the courage to get through it. And you honor me with being able to stand for the haq and stand for your pleasure, that you should be pleased with me and write me also amongst the people that you love and amongst the people that you've written your ridha for and amongst the people you've forgiven. Allah Ta'ala give all of us so much tawfiq and make firm our hearts and make them resistant to fear and to the desire to run away when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is exactly what He created us for. Wa sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala wa sallama ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ajma'in. وأقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم وسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد.